So we can get them.
Surprised or not. You know, because they're quick to throw a black mama in jail for leaving a child in the car for 5 minutes to go on a job interview. Mm-hmm. Being homeless. Right? So, I mean, I have no remorse. I don't feel it. Because if it was one of us, black or brown, we would not. They were looking for 99 things we did wrong. Mm-hmm. We could be Nobel Prize laureates, and they were like, he smoked the blunt 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We should look more into this. That's what they do us.
It's really true that CPS is totally used to police people's families. Like, I read that his father had been in trouble for assault, that it was multiple charges of assault brought up against him. They were dropped for whatever reason. I understand he was his own private business owner. He probably could afford to get those dropped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you want to know where that kid learned to be violent, it probably was from his dad and his mom, who was just going with it. You know what I mean? So I'm not surprised that they weren't watching their kid, because they were obviously cool with having that in their household in the first place.
Abuse creates criminals. Mm-hmm. Abuse creates abusers. Do you think he might have been abused? Maybe. Was that an excuse because he got bullied or rejected by a girl to go shoot some people? No.
No, I think demographically everyone here is probably been a victim of abuse, and we're not out there doing that. So, I don't think so.
Yeah. And I wouldn't too much throw the mother on the bus, because women who, and I don't know if this is true about her or not, who are in domestic violence situations, they've got a lot of things to face, and a lot of control is exercised over them. Not that they're not independent people, but they're in a very tough situation there.
I disagree, because as we know, that area is a predominantly like traditional racist area. Mm-hmm. So these women, if we look at like even work of like women on the alt-right, these women are promoting a patriarchal situation. This is the situation that they're promoting and saying they want. So I feel like...
Kind of you made your bed lie.
Yeah, I really do. I think if you're someone who is opposing that and you're speaking out against that, I have sympathy for you. But if you're promoting that, like...
Now, I remember in those types of areas where gender roles are enforced, they're okay with it. The church-going people. They go to church on Sunday and sleep with their cousin on Monday and bring on Tuesday. It is what it is. You know, and I'm not trying to be mean, but the fact of the matter is that we finally are coming to a place where we can recognize that white folks get away with murder. And it doesn't matter how old you are, once you reach the age of reason, all of your environmental factors that have been in play all of your life will come to fruition in some way, shape, or form. And ultimately, the decision is up to the person holding that weapon to take those lives on whether to say, you know what, something is wrong here. I might need help. I might need to get away from my parents. I might need to get away from here. Something, right? But if you make the decision to go ahead and take that dive and take lives, well, the thing is you've made a choice. And you can't come back from that. Mm-hmm. Period.
Why do you think these men are making this decision to do these mass shootings? What do you think this is the thought process behind that leads them to such violence?
I would say it's like individualization. The way that, basically the way that you have to exist in the society, it's like dog eat dog, you know, it's me against the world. And these men, like predominantly white men, they're not experiencing the same as, you know, their fathers before them who didn't need to go to college but would get great jobs. And now they're starting to learn that, no, you know, you're on the same playing field as everybody else. Like, you know, women, we've never known that. People of color have never known that. But white men, now they're falling from that. Of capitalism. So they're internalizing a lot of these failures, which are systemic failures, but they're taking it personally. They're, you know, I can't get a girl, so there's something wrong with me, probably. But, like, I can't succeed, so there's something wrong with me. Like, I can't pay for college, there's something wrong with me. And they're really internalizing this. And like y'all said, you know, he probably lived in a household that had a lot of racism, had a lot of abuse, a lot of these things, a lot of, like, I'm sure there was rampant unemployment and, like that kind of thing in the area that creates violence. And so they just internalize it and they act out on it.
But what about the white men? Boo-hoo.
I just thought from what you were saying about it's the individualization and it's the decline that they're experiencing from capitalism. I mean, if we went like through the argument that you're making, then we would say that at that time of their fathers, supposedly they were successful, and I mean, they were out there hanging black and brown folks. They were out there raping women of color. So is it that, or is it maybe just a redefining of what violence is? To me, because before, if they went and shot up a black neighborhood, that wasn't a crime.
You would never even hear
about it. It was excused. So, like, you know, maybe it's just the redefining of these terms and the way society is trying to handle it in the first place, I think, honestly. You know, because they still hold the majority of wealth regardless. It might be declining, but it's very little, you know.
Actually, wealth is funneling upwards, and capitalism is not like a unilateral. It's not like every white person has more money. They're working class and they're capitalist class. So, yes, a majority of the ruling class is white, as white supremacy. So that's how capitalism is basically crafted. That's the same reason why that women don't have as much money as men in general, because capitalism was crafted on this oppression.
Well, we sold property.
We had to stay in the house and have children so our capital could flow forward. That's why we had to be monogamous as well. But money is funneling upwards. So it is true that back then there was a lot of racism because there was. But there was also a lot of poverty still. There was a lot of, racialized laws. There was a lot of these things. And so, yeah, as a society, we're learning, realizing from our past that, like, yeah, we had a lot of racism, but also we need to start addressing the material reasons as to why these things can come about, why these things can fester.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You said that there was a lot of poverty, but that there's more poverty now. And I'm saying that they were still being violent then, and they were just as violent as today. I don't think that the Klan has gone extinct. I don't think that white men have stopped killing people in big numbers. I think it's just become less acceptable to do so. Like, I just really think
it's
that.
It's also become less visible.
Yeah.
Outside places where you can go into the woods and shoot, we have a lot of that here in Harris County, not only. Little black kid almost got kidnapped, did get kidnapped and got away.
That was creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Think about this for a second. Every time we look up, we're under some type of constant threat. Whether you be a woman, a black woman, a Latinx woman, a black man, or a human in general, there's an inherent danger that's amplified for people who look like me and her. And the truth is this. We can spin our wheels and talk about how these white men are dangerous to us, right? But we also have to talk about how we need to be getting our numbers up. And what I mean is this. Information being currency. We know that they're trying to take education away from us in a privatized type of way. We know that healthcare is under siege. We know that all these things are happening. But we all have some type of expertise that we picked up because of whatever financial situations that we may or may not have been in. It's time for us, even if we love each other from a distance, to come together and figure out a strategic way to do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We might get flagged for it. We might have machine guns aimed at us because technically, when you decide to become a forefront aid organization, it's almost like you're the enemy of the state. But I think we need to provide the aid ourselves. We have a great example of how that happened with Hurricane Harvey. The focus went straight to black and brown people and undocumented people. We have to continue to do that in times of non-disaster.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to protect each other. We have to be able to say, listen, there's a chain holding on to you. Let me go ahead and click that loose. Or let me get some wire cutters and pop that loose for you. Go walk free. You don't have to tell me thank you. I don't need to hear your sad story about how you white and you feel so guilty about what happened. You're centering yourself. You know? We just have to be okay with being different. Individuality is what makes us great, but you know, we always talk about conformity and uniformity, right? But individuality in a non-capitalistic sense allows personal autonomy. But in being individualistic in a way that does not bring harm to other people, right? We got to practice do no harm more. We got to practice being more gentle with each other. And stop telling people when we're hurt or when they are hurt, that they should be quiet, they should handle it quietly, or that they should go into the background, right? Because maybe he was bullied. No excuses. But did he feel like he had an alternative to go and talk to somebody? We'll never know.
Yeah, where they're.
But there's one caveat. His ass is alive.
Just because it's been mentioned so often in the news media, I wanted to ask your point of view on this. A lot of, especially on the more conservative side, have really hard, really focusing on violent video games as the source of all the social evils. And I wanted you to know your perspectives on whether this is just a red herring or whether the having so much violence in media, whether it's video games or in general, is having an effect on our society, or we've just always been slow.
That argument's trash. That's a very social, you're trying to blame the social aspects when the determinants of violence are often, like I said earlier, unemployment, insecure jobs, you don't know what your future is, that kind of thing. I mean, I know there's millions of people who play these certain video games, that watch these movies, that listen to this music, that don't do this.
I don't know, I like Grand Theft Auto, so I'm probably not the person to ask about that.
I don't think it's any of those things. I think it's only a reflection of who we really are. For whatever the brightest corners of our mind to the darkest corners of our mind, right? It's who we are. We are violent people. But nobody has been more violent over the last 1,000+ years than a white man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everything they touch dies. Literally, the earth is dying.
Mm.
Black people are dying. Women are dying. Freedoms are dying, right? So, I mean, you tell me. I mean, how can we? I'm always confused when I get that type of question. I really am, because I don't know that it's our focus, right? I mean, they're going to do what they do, but we're constantly having to, as a person, I can only speak for myself, I'm constantly having to function through that. So it's normal to me. So when Connor gets fired from his Wall Street job, and he goes to shoot himself in the head like they did back in 2008 because he doesn't know what's going to happen, I'm going to go to the store and give me a 25-cent pack of Kool-Aid, a dollar pack of sugar, and some beans and some rice, and maybe some cheap smoked sausage, and eat it for a week until I can find something else. We have been equipped to deal with the madness that is oppression, so much so that when things happen and go awry, like the question that you're asking me, it's kind of relative, to be honest. And I hate to be so nonchalant about it, but it is what it is.
I mean, sorry, an enlightening response. Kind of in a similar vein, there's been talk about hardening schools, making them hardened targets. A lot of talk about like eliminating the amount of exits, which I just think is a great way to get trapped inside with fire. Do you think that's a good, just another kind of...
Dan Patrick is an idiot. He's a S for brains idiot. Here. Guy, for read about the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, is he like Tammany Hall 2.0? I don't know. Like, there's a reason why there are exits because of fires. Exits that actually lead to the outside, not like exits to nowhere. I mean, like that, right? So that people can survive and not die of smoke inhalation or be burned alive. That type of thing.
Yeah.
Hope you're watching, Mr. Patrick. Read a book.
read the Triangle Sports Factory.
It changed the country, right? Did it not?
It did.
There are regulations and rules. There's an OSHA for a reason. I mean, you can take all the exits out that you want, but theoretically, if a shooter went in and was really determined to do something and got past security and it was one way in and one way out, you're going to have hundreds of people going out of one entrance who could possibly be murdered via those bullets, or trampling each other.
Yes. In many of the mass shootings, people were injured being trampled because people were running to get out.
I would.
Yeah. It would happen.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these proposed solutions, like, they're not solutions. They're not getting to the root cause of violence. They're not even attempting to address them because our government can't do that. It's not equipped to do that. It would have to, you know, cease to exist to do that. So, I mean, I think anytime you hear, like, this, you know, the Doors or armed teachers, I saw some dumb stuff about we should have veterans guarding the schools with guns. I mean, these are all just, they're just running around the bush, you know, they're not getting to the root of the violence in our society.
What do you think they really mean when they say our thoughts and prayers are with the victims? What do you think that is really saying?
It costs too much to do anything.
I'm just following my NRA guidebook. Praise Jesus. I'm an atheist. I don't know. I mean, I believe in action. And they say works without prayers are dead, so don't get to work there. You gonna pray? Get up off your knees, put your little Bible down, and go and legislate. Call a special session. Do what you have to do. But until you do something like that, Mr. Ted Cruz, who went to an NRA convention in Dallas the day after the shooting and gave a speech, do something about it.
I think some of it too is maybe you should actually talk to the kids about what's happening inside the school and asking for the solutions instead of treating children like property, you know, and something you have to protect at all times.
Yeah.
Maybe stop treating them like property and teach them how to, you know, communicate, set healthy boundaries, and also let us know what they need.
You know what the irony is, though? Of all of the students that were featured on television at any one of their shootings, they can make articulate statements without being prompted. And I think that it has been highly disrespectful during these recent news cycles that people are so in awe and so in shock that these little human beings, these young adults, these children, can make and formulate a statement. What are you sending them to school for?
Yeah. They've never had a child before.
I mean, you have to be a complete moron to not think, oh, that's it. No, Becky, it doesn't work like that. These kids had to go to school. They had to read a book. You watched them. Oh, but guess what? That's right. You're too busy doing something else, so you can't help them with their homework, right?
Hey, you know, they probably read the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory book.
Listen, I mean, we can be petty all night about this, but the truth of the matter is that we have to look at, remember what we were like when we were 16 and 17 years old, and what was going through our mind, and trying to be heard. And I remember being that 17-year-old kid where I'd shut up. People talking over you, and then one day I yelled, and everybody just stopped. And I said, no, it's this. And it was born out of, how many times have any of you at the table been like, I'm trying to tell you something, you didn't listen, and then you come back later and say, well, why didn't you tell me? And this is what we're doing to those kids.
Yeah.
So maybe focus on the kids in that asking them, you know, how can we help? What are, because they're really on the front lines of this. They're the ones getting shot at.
Right. And I mean, stop treating them so much like property, because apparently having them all wear the same khaki pants. And,
that's,
you know, they're really, like, having them all wearing matching khaki pants and taking out their lockers isn't doing it.
You know, you got to have a collar on your shirt. That's what's going to solve this. A collar shirt.
All it's done is taken away their privacy and ability for, like, personal self-expression. You haven't done anything else.
But isn't that the point of the caste system, is that there is no self-expression? Isn't that the point of what's happening now, the devolving of our financial economy, is people who haven't reached a certain bracket and probably never will in our lifetimes and generations, right? Wealth, education, all those types of things, right? We can think Connor is dumb as a box of rocks for, you know, thinking that the sky is red instead of blue, but they're the ones who went to all the school and got all the education, right? So they're already predispositioned with the whiteness and the education, and no doubt probably through some favor or some family name or legacy status got them to where they are. Whereas we have to work 3 or 4 times harder, right? Mm-hmm. So
I have one final question before we kind of switch to, or just kind of shift to possible solutions. Is there's governor's race coming up. We just had yesterday the primary runoff. Do you think the shooting will have any effect on the governor's race, or in Texas, is this just going to be swept under the rug and not going to be an issue?
It's Texas.
We love our guns. It's not happening.
Yeah. I think there's people are going to forget about it like the other ones. I mean, we saw with the Parkland shooting, I mean, there was a lot of momentum behind it. These kids were you know, they were scooped up into Movement for Our Lives, and like they got this national platform, and people talked about it for longer. But most shootings like this, I mean, it's gone in a week or so.
You know why? Houston is a downtown city.
Explain that.
I'm from New Orleans. I'm a Katrina evacuate, and I went to those schools that you're talking about that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But ask me the question again, and I promise you I'll answer it right.
What do you mean by Houston being a docile city?
Well, when I was in New Orleans, we can walk in City Hall and protest, and the city council members would get up with us.
Mm. Oh, protest with you?
Yes.
Okay, really?
Here you have to have decorum and a little bit of Emily Post.
or they'll drag you out.
Yeah, or they'll drag you out. And here's the thing. Those are still people, human beings. They have no greater power than we do. You gotta knock them down a few notches. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. When you're thinking about Florida and how they got so activated, they created their own museum. They started talking and people were starting to listen. Here you're taught, we're just comfortable enough and everything is all kumbaya on the surface. And it bubbles up just a little bit. So we like the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who we are here. And people like me, maybe you and everybody at the table, when we get loud, people grimace. They're not used to it. Because it's disruptive. It makes them uncomfortable. But then when it happens to them, can you help? Can you be loud for me? What about me? What about the white man? You know, think about it, though. That's what I mean. Like, these... Again, these children went to school. They can formulate complete thoughts. They speak in standard American English, right? Or whatever language they speak. The point is that it's about listening to people, right? And I don't think that, besides one or two students, that these kids have been given a voice or a platform, because the media, the news media here in and of itself is conservative. We might have some friendly TV stations here and there. But the thing is that you can have as many visuals as you want, but if we don't hear from those children and we don't hear about what they want, yeah, it's Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean.
Okay. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, for me, to your point of view, what are some solutions to mass shootings, to gun violence, to this kind of toxic masculinity?
Mm-hmm. I never read. I need you to help me every time.
Yours first.
Okay. Yeah, you first.
To those solutions, I think, honestly, like I said a while ago, I think the approach should be less of like a punishment mindset and more of a nurturing, kind of fostering what it is we actually want to see. Yeah, nurturing what it is we actually want to see instead of like getting it later, because I think nothing's going to change.
So more carrot, less stick.
Yeah, you can definitely make a million laws, but it's not going to stop the fact that we have a problem. It's not. Yeah.
Kelly? I mean, I already kind of mentioned mine, but like I said, poverty breeds violence. Capitalism breeds violence. Our police and our military, they breed violence. So I think a way to kind of help to rectify that would be to have, you know, working class gangs like in control, like raising the minimum wage, like drawing back our police, taking it under public control, public scrutiny, that kind of thing. That's what I literally feel will help this.
Unfortunately, it also involves electoral politics.
It doesn't need to. Like, you brought up the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. Those were socialist women who got together and they'd strike. They walked right out of that factory and they won. It doesn't have to be electoral.
Can I finish?
Sure.
So, they still had to legislate fire code in New York when that happens. That's all I'm saying. I'm not big on politics like that. But I do know that I do live in this country, and as a black man, every time that I don't go and vote, one, it won't stop me from experiencing racism, but I do know that at least I'm taking a chance. Because every time somebody says don't go vote, I had to sit there and witness people I know get terminated or quit from the HIV advisory board for the president. I have HIV. And there are people right now, regardless of whether you are socialist or whatever you are, or a child, people living out there with pre-existing conditions right now, that today or tomorrow, if programs get stopped, like Ryan White or ADAP, that I both use, I could die because I don't have access to medication that would otherwise keep me alive for the next 30, 40, 50 years. So no, I don't agree with it. But before you cut me off, I was simply saying that we have to be able to put some things aside and talk to those people in charge, because if we don't talk to them, that means that we don't have a narrative. And that also means that the narrative of our enemies will always get through. Those children got all that done in Florida. While I don't necessarily agree with, I'm all about abolishment, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is, areas, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's not all poverty. Poverty.
Right, exactly. So
those didn't come from the children, they came from outside.
But the point I'm trying to make is this. Without their voices, none of it would have happened. And the truth of the matter is this. We got people who are elected officials that I don't really care for. But they got our lives in their hands. And we can protest all we want because I'm a master at that. But I also know that when I went and a bunch of people came and testified against the anti-trans bill and I waited in line, and I witnessed those same people who live right in Houston who didn't come and testify on behalf of the Sandra Bland Act, which is being enforced and working and helping. I don't remember people sitting in the room when we helped when we convinced the DA to not prosecute marijuana charges, those types of things, right? Because we have to worry about decriminalizing ourselves. It's nice to get to that point. It would be nice to think that way and not feel like I'm in danger because I'm in agreement with you. But I have to think about things on multiple streams. It's unfortunate, but to be black is to be black.
See, there's different barriers that people are
facing. Yeah, I mean, it's not like a one-size-fits-all situation. It's unique. It's all of the above. You have to, in whatever way, shape, or form you do, outside of voting, getting out in the community and helping people. Mm-hmm. However you know how to do that, right?
I think volunteerism is important, but I really think if we are going to talk about legislating anything, we really need to look at our education system.
Exactly.
The whole thing that we're talking about is kids in school and violence. All right, so that's where you would start is education, right?
I got threatened with arrest and had to leave Houston and just came back. Because I was fighting for 10 schools to not be closed. My co-organizer got drug out of a room and arrested.
I fully
understand what you're saying, but I also know that without some of the factors that we have, that we literally are forced to live with, if we don't pay attention to that, it's going to be our asses, period. So yes, legislation is important, but when it's happening, we need to show up. And we need to stomp our foot to make sure that we pause it, end it, or get it passed. And find ways to make sure that is enforced. Because while there are people working on legislation, there need to be other people working on building. Right? There's space and a role for everybody, is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And if, until we come to that place, I don't really believe that we're going to go anywhere.
So really kind of pooling our resources. Everybody's going to have a different, skill set that they're going to bring to the situation, regardless of their background, whatever it is. And so that each person can best serve the community with their own unique skill sets.
Yeah.
How do you say that word?
Yes. We need to go to start wrap.
In our last words, anybody have any final thoughts they'd like to share? Anyway, thank you all so much for being with us here tonight. Thank you so much for your diverse and really intelligent views on such a complex issue. It's such a controversial issue, and I really thank you all so much for being here and for enlightening us all, especially me. I can say that for myself. Thank you so much. This is Greenwatch. It's your world. Take care of it.
I beat you by myself. Cool. I guess as soon as I hear the music,
somebody wants a cigarette.
She pulled out
her phone. She pulled out her phone.
That was so good.
I think it was on point.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Is there a way we can get that?
I've got, so here's the thing. I've got to take